Portraiture is among the most persistent genres in art history. Fashions change in terms of style, from realism to abstract back to realism again, and they might change in terms of subject matter, Rubens' paintings of Spanish kings and queens to Van Gogh's potato eaters. But the fascination with the portrait doesn't go away. Take Da Vinci's Mona Lisa. It still pulls on the imagination, leaving viewers wondering about the painter, his subject, and the time when they lived. The newly renovated National Portrait Gallery opened a couple of weeks ago here in Washington, D.C., to much fanfare and glowing reviews. It tells the story of America through its portraits, from our founding fathers to today's late-night talk show hosts. Later in this hour, Robert Malley joins us to talk about the ongoing fight between Israel and Lebanon, and we'll have a conversation with the new Prime Minister of East Timor. But first, portraits. What do they say about us? What portrait, famous or not so famous, most intrigues you, and why? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is talk@npr.org. Joining us now here in Studio 3A is Mark Pachter, director of the National Portrait Gallery. So good to have you with us.
Oh, it's great to be here.
How do portraits tell the story of America? How do they tell our story?
Well, first of all, you have to believe that individuals matter, that by staring somebody in the face who has done an amazing thing and been portrayed in a certain way teaches us something about our lives, our society, and our culture. And by the way, there are those who don't think that that's true. Those who say, well, no, it's really all social forces and we're all pawns in the hands of fate, that sort of thing. Those people don't tend to like portraiture very much. But those who feel that a face-to-face encounter with history by looking at the people who made those differences is the way to understand our common human heritage.
Do you think to some degree portraiture might have gotten something of a bad name in some circles because it is this form of art where painters were hired to do a portrait of a society person or royalty or...
No question. However, the question is, when did it get a bad rap because that's in it? This was not an issue for Rembrandt. This was not an issue through even most of the 19th century. It was the 20th century where the idea that the artist was paramount as a sensibility, not part of a larger context, social and otherwise, where the notion of the artist as the supreme voice became important. So yes, if it's all about artists totally choosing the nature of what it is they present on canvas in this case, then there is something somewhat awkward in the fact that they're in a negotiation with another human being about it. But if you think that actually that negotiation is one of the most interesting things about portraiture, then you become fascinated. It's a collaboration, no question about it.
Well, I went over to the Portrait Gallery yesterday and was fascinated by the variety that is there under this rubric of the portrait.
Right.
You have the Hall of the Presidents. You have the Stuart amazing portrait of Washington to photographs of kids in the street in New York City.
Right.
All of them fantastic.
Right. And by the way, the thing that defines them all as portraits, because you can go to any art museum or history museum, but mostly art museum, and see lots of pictures of people.
Right.
So are they all portraits? No. They're only portraits when it's about a particular person, one that actually existed, to whom the artist is responding. Does that distinction
make a difference? No, explain that a little bit more for me.
Okay, well, there are lots of pictures of women against the landscape, painted in the 19th century impressionist mode. We have no idea who that person is. The whole notion of a model is somebody whose individuality is lost in this broader symbolic portrayal. But the portrait is supposed to be describing a particular person. And so that particularity is either great or what is trivial about portraits, depending on your perspective. Some cultures even, not just individuals, feel that looking at the individuality of people is their least important part. What is general about them, what they represent broadly, is the most important. But portraitists care about the wart on the nose. They care about the clothing worn. They care about that person's place in life at that moment. So it's particular, particular, particular.
I should mention, by the way, that if you are interested in following this conversation by looking at some of the portraits that are on display at the National Portrait Gallery, you can go to our website, and we do have some of those portraits on our website, npr.org. The npr.org, and then go to the Talk of the Nation website for that. How would you say portraits have changed over the years?
Well, again, this question of the extent to which people believe in them within the elite, the cultural elite, and generally. I think generally, most people love to look at people. So I don't think portraits have ever been out of fashion in general. And by the way, we tend to say portraits, and in people's mind pops up usually a painting, maybe a sculpture, but they don't really think of photographs as portraits. Of course they are. So in the sense, photography has never lost its impact in both spheres. But painted portraits, after photography itself showed up, began to make people wonder about them, because for a long time, everybody said, well, it's about likeness. Oh, that's what George Washington looks like. But once photography is there, you either don't need the painted portrait anymore, or the artist is free. And so you begin to have commentary in certain ways, particular self-conscious commentary. And so, you know, all of these elements happen. But in the 20th century, there is the separation. New York, which would be the heart of the received opinions about art, is going more and more abstract, is really wondering whether or not it really isn't trivial just to be looking at an individual. And our heroes, and I suppose I should say heroine, although I think both words now should be one, our heroes now, are people like Alice Neal, who is sitting in New York and sort of cursing a community that despises the portrait, and is actually being much more radical by painting them and being realistic and being figurative, and saying this matters. One of my favorite portraits, it may even be on your website, is Alice Neal painting herself naked at age 80, and really confronting you directly and saying, this is who I am.
Yeah, that is on our website,
oh, great,
by the way. And I forget the word that was used to describe it, but whatever that word was, it's appropriate. I think it was an unflinching view of herself, an unflinching self-portrait, which it is indeed.
It is. And so it shows that there's a lot of courage in portraiture, potentially. Another reason that portraiture often seemed not as important an art form as others to 20th century critics and 21st century is that they worry about it being flattering. That it's not just that the artist has to negotiate with somebody else, but that they have to lie about that person. And in fact, portraits that are lies can be perceived by any visitors, that they can see when it is just flattery. And I think just flattery can have appeal. Sargent basically flattered. And God, those dresses look great. And boy, those people look bigger than life. And Hollywood portraits, really photographs, flatter. So
right,
there's a room for that. But we moderns, like it when it's unflinching. And actually, in our portrait competition, what strikes me is how modern it really is.
All right. We're gonna get to that portrait competition in a moment. I'd like to take a call right now. We've got Paul in Santa Clara, California on the line. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi. You know, you talk about portraits that lie. One of the things I wanted to talk about was my favorite portrait artist is Cindy Sherman.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, she took the idea of the portrait as a lie and really built a whole career out of doing portraits of herself in so many different personas.
You're so right. And she's dazzling because, first of all, she takes the form seriously.
I would describe it, if you could, one of you, describe...
I think your listener should describe.
Paul, perhaps you could describe it for those people who may not know, be familiar with Cindy Sherman's work.
Yes, what moves you about her?
Well, she's a photographer, and she works in relatively large format. And first of all, just the technical achievement of her photos is really quite beautiful. The color is deeply saturated. And she takes pictures of herself in various costumes and in various styles of photography to sort of mimic archetypes of photography of women in different environments.
Exactly.
And sort of takes on these different roles.
And
it really makes you look at the picture as, you know, question both what you're looking at and the way you look at other pictures.
And that couldn't be a more modern statement. And I think all of what we do in a 21st century portrait gallery is allow the questions about it. I'm perfectly happy to be asked, does portraiture matter? Is it dead or alive? Because it engages people in this question of what's going on. And the artists that play with it or challenge it are paying their own tribute to this form.
Thanks so much for your call, Paul.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.
And Paul also mentioned, I think, Diane Arbus. And she's a photographer. But one of the things that I noticed about contemporary portraits yesterday when I was at the Portrait Gallery was a kind of hyper-realism.
Yes.
You were talking earlier about the fact that in this day, in contemporary life, we like to see the warts and all, and people really do show the warts and all in the contemporary portraits. They're so realistic. I found myself going up to some of them and saying, is this a photograph or is it a painting? And I had to look very closely and see
right.
that it was really paint.
And actually, the funny thing is that in the day of digital manipulation, if we just talk about authenticity, the portraits are often more intensely accurate beyond the point of normal vision, then photographs, which can now be manipulated tremendously. So if we're just talking about, is it really life? We don't even know in photographs. But in painted portraits that are hyper-real, it actually isn't real. It's hyper-real. It's an intensity of encounter that forces you to look. I think in the end, all impressive art forces you to look. And again, that makes me a modern in the sense that while I enjoy the beautiful and have no problem being surrounded by things that put me at ease and make me realize the possibilities of beauty, I am riveted as a modern when I am forced to look at things that I would not normally look at, not always in aversion, sometimes in fascination and embrace. The winner of the portrait competition is a perfect example of what you're talking about.
And we are going to be talking to the winner of the portrait competition in just a little while after we take a short break. We are talking about portraits, and my guest is Mark Pachter, director of the National Portrait Gallery. We're talking about portraits and what they show about our history and our identity, and we are taking your calls at 800-989-TALK. Send us an email to talk@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.